Tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 298 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. This afternoon, because it's Sunday afternoon, we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
C-Kohler.
Hey, guys.
And Crocodile.
Hello.
Man, I can't believe they totally announced Hollow Knight Silksong dropping tomorrow and also coming to Tsunami, and it's free and also gives you $500.
It's not free. Mm-hmm. You gained $500 then.
It's not coming to Tsunami, but what is coming to Tsunami is another episode of Naruto Shippuden.
Yay! We'll get through the Chunin exams faster, and maybe the series will end before the Heat Death of the Universe. I guess it's technically already ended, but you know.
So yeah.
They did say, to be fair, they did say that they had some announcements coming up in the near future. So I do expect to hear some actual new shows maybe within the next month or two or something. But obviously, getting new Shippuden is not awesome. Like, it's pretty not. It's the opposite of getting another Shippuden episode is the opposite of awesome. They did say at the same time that they do have announcements in the works. So,
well, I mean, we do know.
They have announcements in the works, but they're all new Tsunami originals that are coming out next year and won't even be on Tsunami because they'll go to streaming. So,
no, hang on. We are getting that Junji Ito thing at some point.
Are we?
We are.
Will it air on Tsunami on Adult Swim or will it be on HBO Max?
They literally paid for it. It's a Tsunami thing.
Yeah, that doesn't mean... So what? They can just put it on HBO Max.
Dude, you're just being ultra pessimistic right now. There's been no mention anywhere that they're going to just drop Adult Swim and go directly to HBO Max.
One guy on Twitter said it, so it must 100% be true as opposed to a possibility.
Yeah. Well, doesn't seem like we can even get Sentai shows at this point. Like, they couldn't even get, what, Food Wars?
Well, I mean, it depends on what they have coming next, you know? Like, if this extra episode of Shippuden is just for, like, 3 weeks, then it's, like, you know, just a timing thing.
Yeah, like, they literally just got a Sentai show. I don't think you can just assume that because Food Wars isn't immediately airing that they can't have Food Wars.
Well, like, somebody said they went straight to TMG for Lupin.
Who is someone? I don't know.
Somebody said it in the thread. Mm. Maybe DeMarco said this on Twitter. Like, yeah, we went straight to TMG.
What I find strange is that not so much that there isn't a show replacement. It's that they've consistently not had a show replacement like lined up. That's what's weird. Like, B-Dubs is right. Maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, there'll be a new show added to the block. But, like, why aren't they, like, already ready to have a show?
That's a weird thing.
Is it, like, what is the situation that prevents them from having something ready already? I just don't understand. I mean, is it just a bad timing thing? Yeah.
Well, it could just be a bad timing thing, like, with the negotiations and stuff.
There have been times where they said that it just took more weeks than they thought it would to seal deals in the past. Like, even when Tsunami was just, like, chugging along on All Engines Go, they've said that, oh, yeah, we wanted to premiere the show, like, a few weeks ago, but, you know, something about the deal or the ink or whatever, you know, the metaphorical ink was taking longer than expected, so it was delayed by a few weeks. That's happened before, so that certainly could be happening now. It could also be that DeMarco was kind of looking at the entire year and tried to space out the premieres, especially if Beggars Can't Be Choosers, he's working for like a limited number of shows you can get over the course of the year. You want to spread that out rather than premiere like 5 shows all at once and then 6 months of no premieres. It's better to like get a few extra shippings in there and then space that shit out.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. My only complaint is that like I don't understand why like it's been a consistent thing that they can't get something to replace a show. Like, it's been like...
Again, nobody will license them anything.
It's either that, or maybe these originals are costing them so much money that they can't really afford to get something else at the same time, you know?
Yeah, which would be like a real miscalculation on their part. Like, or it could just be that the because of the, you know, recent merger, the prices have gone up.
To the point where
it's like,
I'm sure there is a price at which they could obtain shows from Funny Roll now, but I don't think it's basically non-existent. I think for all intents and purposes, that shit's in a vault, in a volcano.
There is a point in there in that the original stuff is, you know, it costs a certain amount of money to make. And then that's probably messing, you know, like the merger probably messed with the math, you know, like, oh, we've got this much for shows left and we'll be fine. But now the merger is like putting it just out of reach. And you got to remember, this is like a midnight block. This is not, you know, some prime time thing where the, you know, WB is just going to throw money at them. Like, God, you know, they're
partying everything nowadays.
Yeah. It's just like they need to work within a set budget, and I'm guessing this merger just messed with their budget to an extent. You know?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like, it's hard to say, but that's a good theory.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We're all just, like, theorizing what it could be. I mean, it could absolutely also be that they don't want to license anything out right now because they're trying to, you know, consolidate the services still.
Why would we devalue our brand? And Sentai is probably over here like, we can't license you. We're struggling to not die here.
Yeah.
But they did. Lupin is practically leading the block, and that's a Sentai show.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Not if they went directly past them to DMG.
Said a person you can't cite that may have heard it from a person who may have heard it from a person. Like,
yeah. Also, Sentai's logo appears every time they air that show. So yeah. I don't know.
So, I will say it probably wouldn't be the worst idea for them to go straight to the original rights holders to get the TV licenses at this point. You know, it's just kind of like an end run around, you know, the other, you know, like American side of stuff. Because, like, maybe they get the rights for longer or cheaper or whatever.
The more I think about it, the more I think it's probably like them not having the funds. And then like you said, like a timing thing, because like you think about like two of the most, I would say like big shows to come to the block recently, which are Made in Abyss and Lupin, are both Sentai shows. So I don't feel like there's an issue with getting shows from Sentai. I think it's more they just can't afford it or something, or they're just going to hold out Crocodile said, maybe they're just going to space stuff out. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if the next time the block changes, it'll be interesting to see what it is. I mean, if I had to make a prediction right now, my next prediction would be that nothing will be added to the block until it's one of these Toonami originals. Like it'll probably be Uzumaki or Apartment Complex C.
I mean, we've got like 18 episodes of Lupin left or something. Like Lupin's around for a while still, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe not eight.
More than
13 episodes. Like maybe like 15 or 16 episodes, but a good while. We have Lupin for.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably have like what 20-ish left.
16. I think 16.
For episodes.
16 episodes. Yeah. So it'll be around for a while, and I have no problem with Lupin.
Mm-hmm.
This is certainly not as strong as Part 5, but I think I like it more than Part 4.
So yeah, there's your block for the next at least 5-ish weeks until we find out what's the plan with Primal. It's just reruns of Primal and then Lupin and then double One Piece and Shippuden.
Honestly, double One Piece isn't the worst thing considering the pacing issues that this chunk of the series.
Double
has.
One Piece makes One Piece tolerable. Double Shippuden is gonna kill me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna be fast forwarding that crap.
Shippuden is gonna take is like just taking a pillow and putting it over my face.
Like Double Shippuden is like a straight IV of like sleep medication.
At least it rates well. Like, I mean, my understanding is that it's still pulling good ratings for Toonami, so at least that's something.
I honestly think they're really unhappy that they have to do Double Shippuden.
I'm sure, like, creatively...
They want to drag it out as long as they can.
Oh, from that perspective, because they want it to last. Okay, yeah, that's also...
It's like, this is a week of Shippuden we don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, like he said, you know, he did say the times are dire, and so we're just seeing the effects of that.
Yeah.
I guess it may be slightly happier animation news, though it won't show up in Toonami. They did show a new preview for the upcoming Castlevania Nocturne series, with the which, of course, takes place in Rondo of Blood, and so that looks pretty cool. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of the Castlevania stuff.
Oh, you should.
I haven't either.
This is good.
Castlevania is great.
I'll say that some of the later seasons kind of maybe stretch things a bit more than need be, but overall, it's quite good.
Yeah, it's a very entertaining show. Like, if we had it on Toonami, it would be really awesome.
I also think, I heard Trigger was making a cyberpunk anime.
Yeah.
Who's directing? Is it Maishi or?
Yep, it is. Oh, yeah, and there's a trailer that was released, trailer with footage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Netflix gets one show a season that goes into Netflix jail. But mostly they're just like going over and paying people to make anime versions of Western properties.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of that.
I'm getting all their stuff gives me the same thing as the Toonami originals do of here's a whole bunch of money and then it's going to probably turn out bad.
I mean, like there've been some strong.
A lot of the Netflix stuff has been good.
Well, like for example, Castlevania is not made in Japan. It's made in the West. Right. And that's pretty great.
I think Netflix's best anime have been just the ones they've picked up and put in Netflix.
No, I would say Crybaby. Did you see
Devil May
Crybaby was good. Castlevania was great.
Name another one. Castlevania doesn't quite count.
I mean, it's West.
Little Witch Academia.
They
didn't make that exclusively for Netflix, but Netflix put it in its jail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said. The stuff they go over, license, and put in jail is good because it wasn't because they don't have their hand in it from the start.
Didn't Netflix pay for Baki, though? I think they pay for Baki. New Baki seasons?
Yeah.
Those are pretty good. It's Baki.
That's another case of them licensing something.
No, I think they paid for it to get made.
Maybe. Hmm. I don't know.
I don't think Baki, the new seasons of Baki exist without to Netflix. I appreciate it wasn't that. Someone can double check. I also could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's a case of Netflix paying for that to be made, not just licensing it.
Yeah. In other news, they had some of the. They showed us the One Piece sets for the live action One Piece show.
Yeah.
It looked fucking good.
Those sets do look good.
Yeah.
I hope the sets are roughly the same quality of the show.
Like, if the show is as good as the sets are, then this is going to be really awesome.
I can't tell if One Piece is going to be like Netflix, we can't cancel this, we spent so much money already, or, holy shit, how much money have we spent on this fucking thing? Cancel it now, before we can't spend any money.
Have they ever fallen to sunk cost fallacy? I feel like they're more likely to cut shit loose, even if it doesn't deserve it, than they are to be fall for that fallacy.
Yeah.
Like
they're gonna release it no matter what. It's just it's just the question is, does it do well enough for them to justify a season two?
My biggest concern about the One Piece show is, well, obviously one is that I hope that they get the character tone right. Which, judging by the sets, it seems like the tone's gonna be good. The second issue I have though is the typical Netflix just making a season of something and then dropping it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm hoping that this is going to be like they're planning on this being their new Stranger Things, the big thing that's subscribe to Netflix to watch this.
I guess I'll say I have some opinion that I haven't actually seen the Cowboy Bebop live action series, but I still feel bad it got canceled after one season because I know they wrote two seasons worth of material. I would have liked them to have at least finished the second season before they shipped it off to the Dustbins of Victory.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's fair to cancel a show, an extremely expensive show that nobody liked.
So the thing is, I did watch it. It wasn't a horrible show. It was just a different take on it. But it got so thoroughly roasted online that it never stood a chance. Everybody went in going, oh, this is going to be horrible because, all of these scenes that were clipped completely out of context that were supposed, like the one scene, like with that lady sort of like hitting on Jet.
Oh God!
Everyone was like, "Oh, this is this like that was supposed to be deeply awkward and super uncomfortable."
Yeah,
you know, like in context, it's like, you know, you're watching it and like, yeah, this person is a dick. Like,
I don't think there's any context that makes the vicious choices good.
That I can't entirely argue.
You can cancel the show based on that alone.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing.
Here's the thing.
But it's not as bad as it was made out to be is the thing.
Yeah. And back to the One Piece thing real quick. I'm just looking here, information about it on the Wikipedia page. This is not a Netflix production. This is a Shueisha production. The production company behind this is Tomorrow Studios and Shueisha.
Yeah.
And it is executive produced by Eiichiro Oda and three other American or non-Japanese people, or four, excuse me.
That's the thing. Like, part of the next month off is not only just Oda getting ready for, you know, the new, you know, saga in One Piece and the new movie coming out, but it's also to oversee, you know, this show as well. You know, like that is, so he is definitely involved here. And usually that means good things. At least it does with the movies and stuff, you know.
It gives me more hope that there would be an impetus to continue the series because Netflix is just the distributor only.
Right.
That's fair.
And like if it's big, yeah, and if it's big enough, they're going to want to hang on to it because after they lose Stranger Things, they don't really have a giant show to make people sub. You know, like before Stranger Things, it was the Marvel stuff and they don't have that anymore. And now they're about to lose Stranger Things. So it's like they need, you know, some kind of big thing to get people coming in because they're not like HBO where it's like, oh, we have, like, you know, The Wire and all this other, you know, freaking amazing stuff in the vault where you can just, you know, click it and watch it at any point or whatever.
I will say that, but a last comment I'll make about the One Piece thing that they showed off is they did show off some of more actors who are going to be in it. And the guy that they're getting to play Zeff looks exactly like Zeff.
It really does. Like I was,
they got the Giga Chad guy to play Captain Morgan. It's like, yes, we don't even need to CGI a giant metal jaw here. His jaw just looks like that.
Fine, it's fine. I do like how apparently the cast for the show, you know, like the main cast, seems like they're already like buddies. You know, like apparently the guy that plays Zoro and the guy that play Luffy go off and like hang out regularly or whatever.
Yeah, and I thought the guy who plays Luffy and that little bit that he does at the intro of the video, he seemed like he had a lot of good energy. So,
like,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's Luffy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, in terms of, like, the casting and the sets and stuff, it all looks good. And if that script that got leaked a while back was real, then, you know, even, like, if that was a first draft and they improve on that, the script is going to be great.
So we know this goes up through at least Arlong Park. Because in the video, they say that they're currently building Arlong's map room. Yeah. And they even made a comment about that, like a lot of drama goes down in that room. That's interesting. That's really good to know. But
they hired actors for that arc, too. Yes. So.
But the thing that's interesting to me is that when I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, it just says there's only 10 episodes. So yeah, that's like, a lot.
I mean, they'll be hour long, right?
I feel like that's a lot for a Netflix show.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's 10 episodes. Everything's like an hour long, I think. So it's like,
I would not be surprised if those episodes came in more than an hour.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Well, I mean, even if they come in for an hour, like, do you really need more than that? More than like 20 minutes for introducing, for like Zoro's episode? Because I think they can cut them down.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, how many, like, because that's like, I forget. Does Baratie happen before or after Arlong Park?
Before.
Before.
In the middle of that arc, yeah. Nami takes the ship and is like, see you later.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Nami betrayal tons them right in the middle of that arc.
So yeah, anyway, I'm not saying it's too much or too little. I'm just like, okay, 10 episodes for all of that.
I feel like the part that's going to be rough is Arlong itself, because everything before that is fairly short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I feel like you could cram, you know, the first chapter, the second chapter, maybe the third chapter all into, like, a one-hour thing.
Yeah, maybe. You know? And I would say, too, that, like, Arlong would make a good, like, season finale.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where I'm like, it's really going to depend on how they do the pacing of the early episodes and what they wind up doing with the Arlong stuff, depending on what they have left.
Yeah.
Because that is by far the longest arc in that section. Like, Usopp's thing is probably an episode, right?
At least, if that, yeah.
Yeah, Usopp's probably an episode. Buggy's probably an episode. So that's three episodes. Sanji's probably an episode. That's four.
I mean, don't forget that I think they're doing Logue Town.
Right. So they're already at, like, maybe four out of six, just getting up to Arlong.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think overall, my opinions was that video made me more positive about the future prospects of One Piece live action.
So let's just all hope for the best.
Fingers crossed.
Anyway, let's talk about Toonami.
What's that?
Oh, it's a dying anime block on Adult Swim on Saturdays at midnights. You may have heard of it when you watched it in the mid-2000s as a kid. it's still there.
It's trying. It's trying. Right now, it's trying to stay alive.
It came, it went back. It's doing its thing.
Assassination Classroom, second season, episode 25, Future Time! Alright, it's time to graduate and then do a big time skip. And also, nobody can ever talk about this ever. Dongis's dad came back from buying cigarettes. He was like, damn, I could not find any cigarettes anywhere. I had to go to fucking Antarctica. Anyway, mm-hmm. I found them and I'm back now.
Him and his, like, crazy wife made up.
I feel like that marriage is not one. I feel they can be a family again without that marriage being reinstated. I don't think that's a marriage that should be reinstated. I don't think that's going to work out. I think the people involved are too crazy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the Elite Four assholes are like, we'll protect you from the horrible media.
The media is awful. Just,
like, slaughtering hyenas in this show.
Yeah, pretty much every villain in the show, with the exception of the Reaper and that scientist guy, get a redemption.
No, the Reaper got a redemption.
Well, at the end, a little bit. And, like, he was, of course, it's like in the next life, if we meet up, let's, you know, reconnect or something. And
it's even more than I thought. So only one character is
the,
like,
Shiro,
the ultimate.
Whatever, what his face is, that's like, haha, that dude got
set. Teacher who was a assassin who Nagisa fought at the end of the first season. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
those
guys, that guy. They suck forever.
Yeah, but yeah, all the bad guys from the other class are like, we hate you, but we're gonna help look out for you for here because
reasons. Their honor and their pride and their principles.
Yeah, we're still gonna rule over you later, something like that.
Uh huh. Anyway, they gave a bunch of their money back to the government?
I don't understand that.
Yeah,
I guess it was like a gift to Kurosima, I guess.
Well, they gave some money to him, but they gave some money specifically back to the government because they said in the Kurosensei's, you know, book of how to live life, he was saying sudden fortunes can fuck up your personality, basically, which is not untrue. There are lots of people who've been like, gone off the deep end after getting a huge influx of money. It's true. But the thing to do is then, like, put in a retirement fund or something and just let it sit there for like 50 years or something.
Or give it to charity. I mean, they end up buying the mountain and the building.
They give some of it to charity too, actually.
They gave a bunch of money to that preschool too.
Basically, they did a lot of right good things with that money, but no amount of it should have gone back to the government. So I don't know what the fuck that was about. That makes no sense of any.
I like to imagine the government was like, all right, here's your prize number money. And 50% of this goes back in taxes. All right.
I mean, they could have just said that, then that would have been fine. And, like,
they made like a ceremony where they're like, here's your money.
Yeah. That's
I'm like, what?
Like, that was weird. We're too humble to accept your money. What do you think we like need this money? We do, but that's too shameful to
maybe that's a money. Maybe that's a Japanese thing where it was like very honorable of them to do this. I don't know.
Anyway, 7 years later.
Yep.
Kurosuma and Irina have their dynamic has not changed a single bit.
They're married and he's still like very, very like, are you on the mission or not?
That just might be her fetish.
I feel she would stick out like a sore thumb in where she's going. Like she's just like typical, oh, there's strife in the Middle East as there is like in all times in human history, I suppose. And like go there and infiltrate some peeps and like
she's just that.
Wouldn't she
she's like this Scarlet Witch. I mean, maybe that's her thing. She's like she infiltrates out in the open where she's like, you know, in disguise or something.
What does that even infiltrates out in the open? Like,
well, like she like mingles with elites and, you know, that kind of thing. She's not like hiding in the shadows. She's more like infiltrating people by seducing them or something.
So not terrorist cell, but like the one of the governments there. Something, I don't know. I feel like she still does not look like she has a right profile for that. But I mean, maybe that's what makes her so good. She just can do it anywhere or anytime or something. I don't know. It's weird, but these are weird people and weird characters. It's a little kind of cute, I suppose. They're a little back and forth, but it also is a little weird. But they're weirdos, so whatever.
It was fun.
So everyone else is 7 years older now, and they're coming back to clean up the old classroom. And the people who... all the people you don't remember, you still don't remember, but the people who you sort of do remember... Remember when they said, I'm going to do this, that they went off and did it.
Yeah, I would say that my only complaint is that a lot of the characters that returned back to clean up 7 years later, there were a number of them where I was kind of like, I couldn't really recognize who they were.
That's exactly why they're there, because they can't be like off throwing baseballs in the big college game. Because
they were just sort of generic.
Going to the State Department or in England.
Even the girl with the green hair comes back and she doesn't have the green hair anymore.
Well, somebody's importance got to be there.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't recognize her. I just, like, I barely knew it was her. I mean, the only reason I knew it was her is because she was, like, a star.
Well, I mean, her voice, I think, was a big tip-off, too. Like, if the design wasn't good enough, I thought her voice was kind of stood out amongst the cast, I guess.
I kind of had a hard time recognizing her, honestly. That's all. I mean, like, I knew it was her, but I was, like, it took me a minute to kind of, like, process that. And then most of the other people who were there, like a lot of the characters who I was expecting to see show back up, you're right. They were all off on their own little like life things. Like the goth girl was like a librarian or something and you know, that kind of thing.
So one thing that was weird, like I guess it wasn't true, but it felt like they implied for a second that she was pregnant or going to be?
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know what the fuck that was about.
It's just not just me who was confused. And okay, so.
Yeah.
And it was like vague. It was like, and one of us is bringing new life or something like that.
What are you talking about? Do I need to look at the end of Assassination Classroom to figure this out?
I swear to God, I thought he was going to say like me and Nagasa just are starting family or something. I legit thought.
But it was like somebody, I think it was another member of the class that we just don't recognize is what it is.
I can literally log into Shonen Jump and probably go to that last chapter of Assassination Classroom and be like, what was going on there?
Yeah. Good luck trying to figure out who that character is though. That's the thing. I'll tell you, overall, this final episode, this very Coda-ish episode, was okay to me. It wasn't bad, but it was okay. But I will say the final scene was kind of like, all right, I like this. I liked the final scene.
I mean Nagisa at Chromatai High School?
Yes.
Did I pronounce that correctly? Hopefully I did. Everyone should be familiar with that show. It is a classic comedy.
I like the idea that he didn't just become a teacher. He became Koro Sensei insofar as like, if you want to be in this class, you have to assassinate me.
Right.
So they are right that the scientist dude ended up in like a weird coma instead of dying, which I don't know.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
He didn't die?
He did not die.
He's still alive.
But the anime was so good how he went splat like a fly. That was seemed so worth like his deserved fate, considering who he was. Just saying, oh, he's in a coma now, just kind of ruins it.
Anyway, why did people think it was weird that Nagisa ended up a teacher? Like, were you just not paying attention?
Yeah, like, I saw a lot of that in the thread, and obviously people are entitled to their opinions and tastes, but that felt kind of weird because Nagisa's been building up to this point. Like,
he said it a few episodes ago. I'm going to be a teacher.
It was when that little girl that he tutors was like, she was like, well, obviously you're going to be a teacher.
Like, did people actually expect him to become an assassin?
Well, the thing is, he's kind of both, but he's definitely more a teacher. But like, he's using his assassin skills to teach, just like Kuro-sensei.
Poor little pathetic little twink into this Cromartie High School shit, and he was like, "Just kidding."
That was the only clever thing about the ending that I liked. I was just like, "Oh, okay. What are they going to do with Nagisa?" I expected him to just be teaching some school, but they put him in like, you know, the worst neighborhood in the world with a bunch of thugs. And it's like, oh, okay, so he can do both. He can both teach and be a menacing assassin.
I don't know. I thought it was fine. I think some people just kind of got into a state where they just decided they were going to hate everything that the show did.
Who? Are you talking about people on our group or in general?
The thread,
really?
In the general.
I think there was a point where I would say around where we turned from let's assassinate Kuro-sensei to let's save him, and I guess that point where it said, oh, maybe he might not explode. There's only 1% chance or something of that sort. I think that led a lot of the, threatening or something similar to desperation or urgency. There we go. I think that led a lot of the urgency out of the scenario. And I kind of sympathize with that viewpoint in the sense that I felt that was development that wasn't really needed. They could have just kept playing things straight rather than put this thing like, oh, actually probably won't explode, so it's okay kind of thing. I don't really think that was necessary. And I think that kind of weakened the tail end of the show a little bit. So I kind of agree with that criticism. But then I think that a lot of people then turn to like, okay, now the show is absolute garbage and I hate it and I hate everything about it. And, you know, I didn't really agree with that. I think that was a bad moment in the sense that I think it removed some urgency from the plot. And I think you just didn't need to do that. So again, I disagree with that. I think that did hurt the show a little bit, but I don't know. For a lot of people, that was like, all right, I'm done. I'm out. Peace. Y'all, see you later.
Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention. I didn't notice that kind of backlash, but I don't know. I mean, we're going to review and rank it, but yeah, I mean, that's interesting.
In terms of review and ranking, I don't have much else to say about the second season that I didn't already say about the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, I would say, are we going into that now? Are we done with this episode?
I think we hit all the points. I mean, I think it was overall not remarkable ending, but I think it was pretty solid. It hit all the beats it needed to. I think it was. I think it did its job adequately.
All right. My thinking on, I'll go ahead and give you my series review of Assassination Classroom. So I think overall, if I had to compare the two seasons, I liked the first season a bit more than the second season. And I think maybe the reason for that is that I thought that the first season was much more lighthearted and the second season did try to be more serious. And I think the show overall just works better when it's goofy and fun. Not that the second season didn't have episodes like that, but it there were fewer of them. I don't think anything was really, honestly, nothing about this series was really like bad. It was all pretty good. I would say overall that I enjoyed this series more than I expected to. I didn't really have like any kind of interest in it. And it, you know, characters like Koro Sensei and a few of the classmates kind of won me over. I did like those characters. They were rather endearing. They
should have had this show only be about like five kids.
That was my next point. Yeah, I think my big complaint about this series, if I have one, if I'm looking at like things to nitpick, too many characters. Now, I understand that that's kind of the premise of the show in so far as like, maybe not premise is the right word, but like the formula for this show is like, it's a classroom, which means instead of the traditional anime where there's like three people in the classroom and everyone like, else is nothing. Koro Sensei
really be a teacher if he's only teaching five kids, or is he just a tutor at that point?
You couldn't have it at a normal, quote unquote, normal Japanese middle school or high school and have it be fewer than like 30 students. Like it just wouldn't really make sense. You'd have to change the setting. And then at that point, I think the doesn't work with the themes of the show if you're having like a small private school or something like that.
And I think the, like I'm saying, that's the kind of the gimmick or the formula of this show is that like the assassination classroom isn't just three or four characters. It's every character in the classroom and they're trying to build every character to be different and unique. Unfortunately, where it fails is that most of the characters really don't have that interesting, enough interesting going on.
It's like there were not possible to, it's like,
yes.
Even if your show isn't about five characters, it's about five characters.
I mean, this the author of this did a fine job, but he's not Oda, and he can't make every character interesting. You know what I'm saying? Like most of the characters are pretty generic, and they have each especially some of the back of the class people were very like just a cliche. Like
six girls in the class who are like the same person.
Almost, yeah.
And if you put them,
they'll have their one quirk. Like one of them is good.
Well, that one has like pink hair.
It's even more than that, though. But it'd be like this one's good with math, and this one's good, you know, whatever. But they're kind of generic, and you compare that to like our main trio that each had their own like backstories and little arcs and everything to them. So yes, too many characters. I think it weighs the show down in a negative way. And the only other thing I could say is that, and this isn't really a knock on the show, but like it kind of wavers between being funny and being serious. And when it's serious, it's not as good. When it's funny, it's pretty good. And Koro Sensei is amazing. I think he's a great character. Sunny Strait. It was Sunny Strait, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Sunny Strait kills it in this role. Like this is like I really want people to remember him as being Koro Sensei. Like, I think he did a knockout job with his voice. So that was like, I'd say 40% of my entertainment from this show came just from his performance alone. So yeah, I think overall I liked the show. That's kind of where I'm at.
B-dubs.
Yeah, I had fun. I'm honestly not really sure what to say here because I'm like, the show I feel like is kind of average, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it's nothing special, but at the same time, it is very entertaining. Which is like a weird combination of things to say, but you know.
It's just kind of there.
Yeah, like maybe not that bad, but you know, like it's fun. I had fun with it, you know. That's really all there is for this one. Like I don't have any fancy.
Is this the most memorable show in the universe? No. Is it all pretty all right? Yeah, it's pretty all right. It's pretty all right. And in that, I don't think we need to move its ranking at all. It's currently number 32 below Symbionic Titan and above Inuyasha.
That sounds about right.
I mean, honestly, I was thinking that I probably will either keep it where it is or maybe move it like three slots down below Alternative or something. But then I feel like Inuyasha is too high or something, and Euchre 7, I'm not sure how well that's aged the original series, but
It didn't do anything egregious to me in this season outside of it had to what it had to do, which was deal with the issue of like the drama. And it did the drama okay, but it didn't do it great. And I don't know if that's a knock against it. It's more of like a knock of the fact that I wish the show just would have been comedy the whole way through.
I mean, I think there are definitely shows that can handle that balance of comedy and drama expertly. Like Full Metal Alchemist is probably one of the examples. Sometimes that's probably fucking silly, but what'd you say?
Yeah.
Why not One Piece?
Oh, I mean, sure. I suppose that's true as well. Though I think Full Metal Alchemist is a better show than One Piece is. I don't know, maybe that's blasphemy, but a better IP or whatever you want to say.
I'd say it's a better anime.
Sure. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think I would put Full Metal Alchemist above One Piece. So my mind defaulted to Full Metal Alchemist. But yes, it's clearly there are definitely shows that balance that ridiculously silly comedy and gut-wrenching drama well. And I thought this show did not do as good a job as some other shows, but I thought it was, you know, decent overall. I think in terms of characters, I agree that I think most of them aren't very memorable. Kuro-sensei himself stands out the fuck out. I mean, that's a character that I think people are going to remember for a long time. But after him, you get a few like the trio, Nagisa, Kurama, and just a few others. But like after that, it's basically generic anime high school or middle school or whatever, however fuck old they are. Number 72 or something, or I guess 17, I guess we're not 72 people in the class. But yeah, I agree with a lot of the criticisms that others mentioned. And as I said before, I felt urgency was removed from the kind of the narrative near the end of the series, so that kind of dampened things a little bit. So that's, I think that stuff like that is probably what makes me want to drop this maybe a few slots, but if I do, it'll be very, very few. And obviously if other people are like, don't agree, I mean, we probably can probably leave it where it is too. It's not that big a deal, but I think it's for reasons for that I might say the second season's slightly weaker than the first one. But I think they're generally of very comparable quality. And I think overall, it's a good show with some extremely memorable elements, specifically Kuro-sensei. I think the premise is pretty unique. And I think the general premise is interesting, which is probably why I felt a little bothered by them kind of deflating it a little bit near the end. But I at least appreciate that they did, even with that quote-unquote deflation, they went through with it in the end. They fucking assassinated their teacher. Did not chicken out. They're not without, you know, yeah. They fucking, like we said, chapter one, we're going to do this thing. Chapter 375, or however many chapters this series is.
It was only like 180.
Okay, whatever. 180 chapters. At the end of the series, they did the fucking thing they said they were going to do. Lots of the series would have chickened out. And so I do respect the series for that, even if I didn't think they totally 100% nailed the landing.
I guess we'll leave it up to B-Dubs. I'm on Grex's side. I don't feel like it needs to move. Yeah. I don't think the show, while the second season wasn't quite as good as the first, I don't think it was bad and not enough to make me care about to moving it. So B-Dubs, do you feel like it should move down because of the second season, or do you want to keep
it? I'm okay where it is, honestly. It's not it's an okay show. It's not like, you know, something that I'm gonna like be like, yes, this is horrible or good, or like it's just kind of there, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I don't regret watching it, but it wasn't. No. It's not a show. I don't think it's a show I'd go out of my way to recommend to somebody. I would say it's kind of light fare.
Yeah,
I think in terms of nominations, you could probably put Kuro-sensei on there for probably best male character. But after that, I don't think the show actually... Well, maybe if you like some of the openings or something. But besides that, I don't think the show makes any positive nominations.
Oh, God. We haven't even thought about nominations again. But, like, what is there? What even is there to nominate? There's nothing.
Like, I mean, I think Kuro-sensei is nominatable for best male character. But besides...
I was just talking in general about, like, shows. It's like, oh, we're going to get new shows again. And we're going to have stuff to put on the nominations list. And it's like, no.
Well, we're doing the nominations at the end of each show, so we'll see what the next 6 months brings.
Yeah.
Putting Kuro-sensei on there for best character.
I think he's already on there. Oh, and voice
actor. No, he's not.
Okay.
And voice actor.
So it sounds like consensus that pretty decent show, but, you know, blow our socks away, but we appreciate our time with it overall. Kuro-sensei rules. Everyone else is kind of like mostly there. Okay. For a few characters, and I guess the placement of the show is not moving, sounds like. Is that adequate summation?
Mm-hmm. That seems adequate. Congratulations, Assassination Classroom. You stayed right where you are. How about some Lupin, which is now the carrying the block on its shoulders, apparently.
Well, thankfully, Lupin is a man of many faces, so he can serve many different roles. So it makes him perfect for the job. He can do anything you need him to do. Be anyone you need him to be.
Absolutely. Lupin the Third, Part 6, Episode 8, Last Bullet. Okay, arbitrarily going back like 3 years so we can have the characters meet Lily before they meet Lily in the show for some reason. Especially Jigen.
That threw me off for a little bit. I actually didn't think this was a Sherlock Holmes episode till a good bit into it. Once it became very obvious it was, but I thought it was going to be another side story or something, so.
Anyway, Jigen's kind of sad this whole episode because his gun is breaking and everyone's like, holy shit, put this thing out to pasture. Nobody makes parts for this shit anymore. What the fuck is this?
It's his partner.
This is my partner. And they're like, it sucks and it's old. Here's this plastic smart gun. And he's just like, ugh.
Yeah, but he was right. Because have you seen the shit that Jigen can do with his gun?
He's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, this episode is that, and also this kid back when Lily was going to Scotland boarding school is like super into Lily, so mm-hmm. he'll decide to pretend to be Lily and get shot at.
Again, props to the show. I didn't see it coming. That was a pretty good swerve. I thought that was Lily the whole time. I have no reason not to believe it.
Actually, she was weirdly calm and collected. I was like, huh.
That, and also Lily never was like, hey, Sherlock, remember the time a whole bunch of people tried to shoot at me?
Well, like, yeah, no. That's true. I didn't even think of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was kind of that was going to be a plot hole until they like, no, actually, we thought this through. You could probably say that raises more questions in other ways, but at least that one particular big question was closed off, so at least I appreciate that. Though this kid is also way too cool and collected for his own good. Like, what the fuck? You're like 8 or 10 or something. What the fuck are you doing, kid?
This kid is like 7. This kid is like 9.
I kind of took it more like he was mostly like in shock most of the time or didn't know what to do. So he was just sort of standing around.
I don't know. Like, at the end of the episode, he was like, I'm going to grow up and be Jigen, basically. So, like.
Well, that was different, though, because that was after the traumatic events have occurred.
Yeah. That.
I was talking more like during the events were occurring, he seemed very calm and collected.
Right, but not in the like paralyzed sense. More like, yeah, I got this. I see this shit every day in my GTA and on my PlayStation 2 or something back in however.
It's a different time. These kids were brave back in 19 whatever this was. Actually, this is not too long ago, I guess. But anyway, the point being is that the whole episode is based around the fact that Jigen asked this kid, to be brave, and he did. A pretty good job. The only thing I wanted to mention though is that not only does this kid do a really good job of sounding like Lily, of course he has a face. Everybody's got the fake faces. Everybody
he didn't even have a fake face. He just put a wig on.
Oh, did he? I thought he had a
face. Has the same freaking face. No, he just took off his wig.
Oh.
Well, granted, obviously, like he didn't make the face himself. If he had one, it was given to him by Lupin. If he had one, but so.
And Lily never saw Lupin because she was like unconscious, so that doesn't like retcon anything.
Right. Like right. I mean, Lupin deliberately hid himself from like he told the kid, don't tell her it was me. Tell her it was Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy or something.
So yeah, this episode was fine. Jigen was like, this gun really is done. It's got a big crack in it. I guess I'll use it. Its last shot is gonna be I'm gonna shoot the whole barrel into this dude's chest.
Yeah, it was
pierce
pretty cool.
The bulletproof armor. That definitely makes sense and would definitely work absolutely in real life. Right. No questions asked.
I see you wrote down my favorite line from this episode. He was shooting like his old gun, but he had like weak bullets in it. And he goes, this gun packs the same punch as my grandma.
Damn, I can't tell if that's a diss on the gun or a compliment to his grandma. Because if his grandma can punch you as hard as a bullet.
Yeah. I think it's a diss on the weakness of the bullets. Because he's like, what was he? He's like used to like 45s or something.
Yeah, or something like that. Anyway, this episode is fine.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the camaraderie with Jigen and the boy, and I liked the twist, and I didn't really care about the villains, whatever.
I'm not sure about the ending where the boy is just like, I get it. Guns are cool.
Well, hey, people are upset that Nagisa didn't turn into an assassin. They at least get this boy. He's clearly going to grow up to be an assassin in like 20 years.
He's going to be a gunman.
In 20 years, Jigen is going to shoot this kid in the head and be like, I don't even know who that is.
Nah, he remembered, because that's how they let off the last episode at the end. He's like, I wonder what happened to that boy.
Oh, that's right. I was wondering. I remembered the previous episode. They were like, who the fuck is Jigen talking about? And then I remembered. Okay. They did tie that all up. Okay, cool. So I guess this boy is coming back. I guess it's
like, No. I think that was just the lead-in for this episode.
But I feel like there has to be like a part three to this. It feels like there needs to be some closure to this.
Well, maybe in like 20 years when that kid shows up again.
I mean, like in another episode.
You'll never see that kid again. How many fucking one-off characters in the Lupin franchise have filled like the same role in multiple different seasons? There's got to be at least five different. I think there's got to be like one every season where it's like, here's an episode about one time when Jigen was hurt and he fell in love with this girl in this village, but he can never be with her. And there's like seven of those.
I don't think we're going to see this little boy anymore than we're going to see those two boys from that train episode again.
Well, no, I mean, the train episode was a side story. This is the part of the main plot. But the thing is, though, this boy has already stretched two episodes, though, because they teased in the previous one. I think that makes it different. It's not like it's already extended like two episodes. So
The only way I could see this kid coming back is that like he transfers from his school at the end of this season to be in like Lily's school.
I mean, that's certainly
because he's still like in grade school. So
I don't know. It just feels like you can get one more episode of this boy. It feels like to me, feeling my bones. Wouldn't have teased him in the previous episode, then have him this episode, and then like I don't know. It just feels like they want that closure. Just I don't know. That's what it feels like to me. I could be wrong. I haven't seen the series, obviously. I think Rex has, so he probably knows if I'm being stupid or not. But I don't know. That's what I feel. Like, one more episode of this character feels like to me.
Anyway. How about some One Piece?
Gold Roger, the king of the pirates, attained every treasure that the world had to offer. Smiling, even as he stood upon the scaffold, he issued a challenge to the world.
Won my treasure? You can have it. I left everything I gathered together in one place. Now you just have to find it.
Now those who dare to dream hoist their flags and sail into the great pirate era.
One Piece, episode 557, Iron Pirate, here comes General Franky. And all the girls said, we. I don't know how I feel about this joke.
I don't like it, and it's played out, and like, it's just not, it's just dumb. And kind of sexist, and just, I don't know. Like, I guess it hurts that there's only two women here. So it can't be like, oh, we have six women, and like, two of them think mechs are cool. And then four of them are like, whatever. And that would be like perfectly, that could be a normal balance or something. But then you'd probably want to be like, some of the boys would be interested in, and some of the boys would just not care. So like,
For Zoro and Sanji don't give a shit. It's like Luffy and Usopp and Chopper. Right. And Franky, who's a weirdo.
Franky loves it because it's his baby.
Franky loves it because he's Franky. Yeah. I mean, the most charitable interpretation of this is that it's Usopp, like Robin and Nami are just like, whatever, who cares? And Usopp and Chopper are like, we're big babies and we love giant robot.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Like, Usopp, Chopper, and Luffy are children at heart. Children, almost literally. And and then the girls thing is just kind of like, well, girls don't like robots. And it's like, okay,
I mean, it's
whatever.
Not that they're like, it feels less like disinterest and more like aggressive disinterest. Like, Nami's face there is just like, I just don't care. Like, you know, she didn't, you know.
There's this one.
Allowed to have fun.
There's the famous panel from the next arc where there's like a whole bunch of dudes going starry-eyed at General Frankie. And then like Robin has like her sunglasses in and she just like doesn't care.
Yeah.
And it's like that.
That's a joke. I mean, this goes back to, you know, docking 7 or whatever it was. Remember that joke?
I mean, Nami got in on was she even there? Nami did not get in on docking.
No, that was because
she was not there.
No, she was like getting married.
But that was a different joke. Robin was just like, I am the only sane person in this entire cast. You people are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like the running gag of the girls not caring about, because I mean, like, I would have hoped at least Robin would have been like, good going, Frankie. That looks cool. But no, she doesn't care.
Robin is Robin is weird. She's either like a total weirdo or like total straight man.
She's too busy worrying about if their blood will, you know, stain entire.
Somebody's blood might get on like some random ancient manuscript that's lying around.
Yeah. No, but she said that time, when the Noah was about to crash into the planet. I mean, not planet,
in the second episode. Yeah, and I mean, Robin typically is like usually just the one laughing. Like when something crazy happens, she's usually just in the background going, "Oh, Frankie, you're cool," or something like that, or "You're really dependable." But like in this instance, because of the joke, they can't do that. She has to be like serious. Anyway, we're harping too much on that aspect. Let's talk about General Frankie.
General Frankie's all right. I like General Frankie. I don't like that it sort of replaces Frankie.
I think it is Frankie. Like, I think it's peak
Frankie.
I do
like the joke where it's like, all right, General Frankie's going to shoot a bunch of dudes with guns. And in fact, it's just Frankie popping out of the front and shooting a bunch of dudes with his arm gun.
Yes, that's, I love that. I love that, like, he kicks everyone out. He's like, only
but,
I
like,
can...
Frankie doesn't get a fight that isn't involved, that doesn't involve General Frankie from now on.
Because
it's his
General
one thing.
He is awesome.
I mean, so he's like fighting giant people or something, or crowds, or
no, just literally anyone. General. Well, maybe he. I don't remember. I General? Don't. Think, okay, I don't think Senor Pink has General Frankie.
No. Senor Pink has. I thought he. Did.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. He just wrestles him just by himself.
Man, spoilers. Now I'm thinking about, well, I mean, what? There's a guy named Senor Pink.
Okay, whatever. I'm just saying, Frankie has a fight with a character named Senor Pink, and he's not in General Frankie at that time. He's just him. So it does happen.
That would have been a bit unfair, because Senor Pink is not like a huge dude.
Yeah. But most of the time when a big battle occurs in the future, time to break out General Frankie. And General Frankie's fun. I like it. It brings robots into One Piece. It's kind of neat.
Right.
And I like the over-the-topness of it being just a giant version of Frankie, and he does the same, like, super, and everything.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Nami's like, look, I'm also here. I can blow a bubble in this dude's face. I am not weak. Cut to commercial. It's like, I'm sorry, Nami. You're still kind of weak. It's rough.
I mean, that was not what I'd call especially convincing display. But I've been hearing people say that she's actually pretty strong in Wano now or something, but I haven't actually read that or seen that myself. I've just heard she's doing okay now, but she kind of doesn't really do much for much of the beginning of the post-time.
The thing is that Nami is not meant to be a fighting character. She's just not. I don't understand why people get upset that she can't fight. She's just not meant to be.
It's a shonen.
She can a little bit.
And what you came here to see a shonen was people beat the shit out of other people.
I guess, but I just sort of see her as she's more like the mind, like the brain, like kind of like a Robin, except Robin can fight. But like Nami is just more like the analytical person, the person who puts, like, she's more about her brains and less about her brawn. But that's just the way I see it. She does have some capabilities in fights.
I just need her to like stop every single time anything even slightly dangerous happens, go, ah, save me.
Well, even Chopper and Usopp do that, though.
They should also stop doing that. You had a fucking time skip training arc.
Yeah, they do it when they need to. I don't know. It doesn't bother me for some reason. I think I just see them as, like, what do they call? They have, like, a nickname for them.
The Weakling Trio?
Something like that, yeah.
They're the opposite of the Monster Trio.
But also, until it's needed, and then they turn into literal monsters or whatever, and then they kick ass.
And then Chopper got horny, and by that I mean he has big horns.
This is my favorite look for Chopper, and it's the one that he will use the least. which is frustrating.
They're just always going to go straight to my B-dubs to have a great...
See ya, sorry. There.
No problem. See you later,
they're
B-dubs.
They're always going to go default to, like, fucking, like, Kung Fu Point. Which looks weird.
Which is the worst looking one. Like, I'd rather him stay in his chibi Chopper form. Kung Fu Point is stupid.
What about this new form where he's like Chibi Chopper, but he looks sort of identifiably like a reindeer? Call it old art style Chopper.
Let's go to that. Let's go with pre-time skip Chopper. I like that design.
He was getting pretty blobby in like Thriller Bark already.
Mm. But this like teenage looking Chopper is pretty cool. I mean, I guess I understand why they don't use it very often, because it goes against the, like, oh, Chopper's so cute. I just think he looks cool.
Anyway, this episode is fine. I thought it was actually better than the previous two episodes of, look, the Straw Hats are super cool and they're doing stuff. Because, like, I think they actually did do stuff this episode.
The pacing was still rough, yeah. I felt, but...
It's still rough.
It's always going to be. And then I would say the animation is still pretty bad.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of faces. Like, there was a shot of, like, Nami when she was holding her climb attack. And I'm like, who is that? That doesn't look like Nami. her face is all wrong.
Character, Norm.
Yeah. It's like, what fan drew this?
Oda, turns out. He can't draw anything but the boobs anymore. Everything else is just kind of like, eh? But he can draw the boobs. You can do it really well. Anyway, this entire next episode and, like, the end of this episode is like, holy shit, the fucking boat is coming straight for us.
I think they did a good job in this episode of really making you feel how big Noah is and, like, how menacing it is for it to be slowly coming towards them.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you joke, but this is episode 558, by the way. The Noah closing in, the Fishman Island facing destruction. Okay. The boat is very big. It is very slow, but it doesn't have to be fast because it's very big. And if it was fast, they'd just all die.
Mm-hmm. And Shirahoshi, Wimpy Hoshi, being brave.
I mean, somebody did say in the thread that was like, can't you just go up and touch it? And that'll make it stop.
Hey, wouldn't it just fall to...
Yeah, there's that.
that's true. That would happen.
But she also has the ability to lead it away now than if she had touched it, I think.
She should lead it away and then go toward it and touch it and make it just fall. But then Vanderdecken can just keep throwing it at her. I don't know. Seems like everyone in the whole world got the same idea at the same time, which is fucking Vanderdecken, we need to stab that guy. Because Hody's climbing up the chain with a trident.
Even like, Hody is like... Yeah, I'm going
to
kill
this. Oh no, my decision to ally with this fucking psychopath might have not been the best idea.
Another comment I'll make, this happened a little earlier in the episode, is when Tsurume, like, attacks Shirahoshi, and then, like, we learn that Tsurume, I think it's hinted that Tsurume came from, like, the South Pole and has a brother in the North Pole.
Uh-huh.
So maybe there's, like, two giant krakens at each pole of this world or something. Anyway. I just was really surprised. Like, oh, not surprised, but like, I'm impressed by just, he's so big. He makes Shirahoshi look super tiny. He's like fucking huge.
That's a Kraken for you.
Yeah. I don't remember what happens to Tsurume after this arc.
I think he's just there and is like, hi, I'm here. I'm Tsurume and I'm happy and yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Cause man, could you imagine? He had tagged along with the Straw Hats on their adventures.
No.
What kind of ruined the story?
Like, I remember people going like, Shirahoshi's going to join the Straw Hats. And it's like, how does that work?
Really? That was a thing?
Yes, that was a thing.
Oh, interesting. I never would have thought.
I mean, I guess I have to take your word for it, but that's just like, really?
I mean, if, every time, basically, the second a character walks on screen and that's it's popular. Like a weird weirdo, people are like, oh, look at this new Straw Hat.
In this case,
and also Luffy is like, join my crew, but he says that to everyone.
But right, but also in this case, Shirahoshi does kind of have a quote unquote dream, which is, you know, what I guess you learn about that a little bit later, but it's basically to go with them. So I can see that, but no, she's not going to work as a Straw Hat.
Nope. Sorry.
She just pulls the boat if that's the case.
Oh, no. That would be awful. Just like, ah, we have us fresh man. She pulls the boat.
For her, it'd be no big deal. She'd probably like it. I mean, she probably, or it wouldn't be any inconvenience to her is what I mean. Like, she's just like, it's like nothing to her. She's as big as their boat.
Anyway. So, yeah, everyone has to beat. We got to stop the big boat. Boat big. Boat too big.
Yeah. Vanderdecken still creeping people. Still a creep.
That dude needs to get fucking grip.
I mean, that dude just needs to die. He's done.
Yeah. Get rid of him.
Anyway, we have 30 seconds left, so let's talk about Shippuden. Naruto Shippuden, episode 394, The New Chunin Exams. Episode does not actually contain any Chunin exams. It contains them sending a letter to all the other villages going, what if we had a Chunin exams? And all the other villages going, no, to extremely dramatic music.
Yep, and then B's there and he does a rap.
Oh yeah, and the old guy was like stomping on the letter, like, he was so mad.
It's like, they gave it the big heroic music, and it's like, these guys just saying, no.
Also, there was, like, the weakest, lamest transition into this like, flashback. Like, I don't even, it was something to the effect of, it was like, Naruto, he's out. They were trying to revive him. It kind of reminds me of something that happened long ago, and it's like, that's
that was
it?
Naruto and Sasuke are dying. It just reminds me of the time back in the Chunin exams when it's like,
yeah, like what?
Naruto laying there dining. This reminds me of the Chunin exams I wasn't there for.
It was just the weakest premise to be like, let's get a flashback.
At least, I don't know if I should give him props for like trying to tie this into the main story rather than just, you know, because they've been plenty of times where they just a filler and just randomly like, oh, it's randomly like 3 years ago and they're like outside the world for no reason. Who, you know, here they actually tried to fit it in. So maybe to get some props for that, but it was pretty fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, this episode was boring and not interesting.
This episode is like literally like, we're sending out a fax. That's the whole episode.
And a bunch of people sitting around tables.
And the fax coming back going, we respectfully decline your invitation to the exam.
That's it. That's the episode. That is the exciting episode.
Holy shit, I can't wait to watch two of these every night.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there'll be some fighting at some point. Because they're tuning exams.
I mean, you could convince me that here's the everyone doing the Chunin exams again, and they all become Chunin, would be worthwhile to see.
Again, like I said last week, like, this is the Shippuden, like, the people who are making the show, like, this is the level of creativity they have. They're just like, well, just go with what we did before. We know that works. Don't take any risks.
Yeah, does anyone even look at these scripts? They're just like, is it a script? Can we make a 30 minute episode of anime out of it to therefore keep One Piece shipping it on the air?
Maybe this was like a dire situation where they were like, god damn it, that fucking manga, it went into hiatus again or something, and they're like, what are we gonna do? We'll just do the Chunin exams again. It'll be easy. We can just do that, just mix it up, maybe have different people fight.
Anyway, Shippuden sucks and now there's more of it. And that'll do. That's it. That's all. That's all Toonami is today.
Yeah. Be interesting to see how long it takes for them to add something new to the block.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I wonder.
And Toonami's been through tough times before. I feel.
These are the toughest times, it feels
not
like.
Not tougher than the times that... Remember when it was like only... Tsunami was only 2 hours long and had like, I don't know, fucking Wulong Warriors on it or some shit? Or like, remember the times when it died the first time?
Yes, those were even more tough because it was on the verge of cancellation.
Yeah, these by definition are not the toughest times it's had. So, I don't know. We'll see how things go. I just don't really feel much point being pessimistic. One should be realistic, of course. Things are not going great, but I think that's different than like, well, I guess it's over. Time to pack it up. It's ending tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There's a pretty big difference between that.
But. Anyway, that'll do it for this episode of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. Thank you, Crocodile.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sea Caller.
No problem.
Thank you, B-Dubs. He's gone, but thank you anyway. We'll see you guys next week for episode 299. Good night. Later.